Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Ravel, and this is ValueSide for Monday, June 5. For all of our podcasts and articles, visit ValueSide.com. Well, today, Bud Light and Target in the age of scientific marketing. By now, nearly everyone is familiar with the incredible debacle of the sales and marketing group at Anheuser-Busch. It's been the lead story for weeks now and involves an advertising campaign featuring a transsexual spokesperson. More recently, another major U.S. corporation, Target, has found itself embroiled in a similar predicament over their feature of transsexual items in the children's section of their stores. What's amazing is how these two giant corporations, both of whom built their franchise by catering to the whims and wishes of the American public, got it so wrong. Apparently, they misjudged how a majority felt about sexual identity. Both Bush and Target had hit the public's hot button, assuming that the public would support these campaigns, when in actuality, they have created a couple of the largest backlashes in public opinion in recent memory. Now, these two missteps become even more remarkable when you look back at how modern marketing has evolved. For me, marketing has been a central part of my career. Since the day I stepped into the boardroom at E.F. Hutton, I have had one central goal, and that is how to gain more clients. Throughout my career, my job is focused on sales and marketing. When I began as a Cub stockbroker, I was literally handed the phone book, sat down at the telephone, and began to cold call. That is, call up perfect strangers and ask them if they'd like to buy some stock. It was agonizing for both me and I'm sure the recipient of my call. I knew nothing about them, and they knew less about me. So it was a one-in-a-million shot that the person on the other end of the phone line would really want to purchase stock. It was totally random. That's because we had no way to learn about potential investors, no understanding of their wants or goals. We were at the crudest, most basic level of marketing. That is one of random sales. For those who might remember, it was the Fuller Brushman model, knocking on doors and hoping that someone would purchase a brush from him. In the financial services business, it was Charles Schwab who revolutionized marketing. Utilizing mass advertising, principally ads in the Wall Street Journal, combined with a service desk connected to a toll-free phone number, Schwab had potential customers come to him. This revolutionized the brokerage industry. Suddenly, brokers were busy writing orders, that's a highly profitable event, rather than cold calling, a random process. What's more, Schwab, the Stanford-educated MBA, began the scientific surveys of customers, determining what ad campaigns worked and what did not. Profiles of the average Schwab customers were drawn up and office locations set to the regions with the most number of investors. Marketing for Schwab and all major retail firms had become scientific. This was really in-depth Know Your Customer rule. We not only knew our customer through scientific marketing, we now knew our potential customer. We could, and did, create a profile of those people most likely to become customers. And so we designed specific campaigns to make our firm as attractive to them as possible, in the hopes that they would do business with us. Then came the internet. In the mid-1990s, customers began using a new technology, the World Wide Web. And our role as marketers went into overdrive. The cost of acquiring new customers plummeted. In the 1970s, the average cost of advertising to gain a new customer was roughly $50. With the internet, that cost dropped to about a tenth of that level, or about $5 in internet marketing to obtain a new client. What's more, with new research capability thanks to Google and others, we learned even more about potential customers' wants and needs, and how those desires changed in real time. When the markets were going up, we'd slant the marketing to how to maximize returns. When markets were declining, marketing switched to safety. Suddenly, marketing had become real-time tracking of a thoroughly well-known prospect, appealing to potential customers with just the right message at just the right moment. There was no longer any guesswork. What's more, every major retail operation above the level of a 7-Eleven or gas station has these same capabilities and resources today. Even the occasional cold call you may receive today is due to a carefully researched profile of you and how you might react to that call. How then did two of the largest, most successful retail-oriented companies in the nation get it so wrong? How was it that both companies launched marketing campaigns that not only did not get any new customers, they actually drove away existing customers? In the case of Bud Light, one of the most significant boycotts ever, and in the case of Target, a growing boycott that appears to be a long way from peaking. There can be only one answer. These were not accidental campaigns. Both Bud and Target know how to appeal to their customers. They've been doing that for a couple of generations now. These are both campaigns that ran counter to the profile of their standard customer. Somewhere at the corporate level, the decision was reached to go against what they knew their customers wanted. Executives at both Target and Anheuser-Busch no doubt knew that there was risk, that their patrons would not be pleased. But they no doubt hoped the reaction would be minimal. And that was their mistake. Exactly why upper management at these two Fortune 500 firms took this action, we don't know. It may have been an effort to appeal to the currently fashionable woke community, or as Fox Business is suggesting, it may have been because certain Wall Street investment managers demanded it. We may never know just why Bud and Target suddenly disregarded their customers. But one thing we do know, and that is that upper management at both firms knew enough about their customers to know that we would not approve. And that's The Value Side for Monday, June 5. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Rubel. Value Side is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.